O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When we were in Israel 3 years ago, and pray for the Bots, they're back in Israel, from what I understand, with some of their family to watch over them there. But our guide, Sheila, taught us this verse in Hebrew. And I'm going to try to teach it. The English letters are up here. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. Hodu means give thanks. L'Adonai means to the Lord. Ki for tov is good. For ki le'olam means forever. Hasto means his grace, his mercy, his kindness. You know, you hear about the Hasidics. They're those that are gracious Jews, I guess. They named after Chesed, which means grace, kindness, or goodness. Now, there is one word in there that is not in the Hebrew. So it's incorrect in that sense. L'Adonai. In the Hebrew, it's the word Yahweh or Jehovah. Adonai is a synonym meaning Lord. And the Jews were so concerned about not dishonoring the name of Jehovah or Yahweh that whenever they read the Old Testament, they leave that out. And they substitute automatically Adonai. Even today, most even Messianic Jews, I think, will read it like this. Odu l'Adonai instead of Odu l'Yahweh. And if you read some of the older translations, you'll find that the name for the Lord is translated as Jehovah. In the more modern ones, you'll say Yahweh. And the reason being is, in the Hebrew, originally there was no vowels. In the Hebrew, it was just consonants. And you just had to learn what the vowel sound was. And then when the Masoretics put together their the scripture, they added a point system that stood for the vowels to help you read it in Hebrew. But when they would come to the name of Jehovah or Yahweh, they would automatically put the vowels for Adonai, not the vows for Jehovah. And people, at first, when they were using the Hebrew to translate, they used the vowel system of the Masoretics for Yahweh, for Jehovah, and that's where they got the pronunciation Jehovah, using the vowels from Adonai. Then somebody realized, well, the reason they put the vowels in there was because they pronounce it with Adonai and not Jehovah. And actually the pronunciation would be Yahweh. And that's why you'll see in the more recent ones, they'll say Yahweh instead. But let us try to sing this. Our guide taught us. My wife's going to lead us, hopefully. And anybody else who might know this song in Hebrew, and how they would say it in Israel, sing it in Israel today. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. Ki le'olam hasto. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. Ki le'olam hasto. Hodu, 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 hodu. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then repeat it. Notice in the song, great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are renewed every morning. The Lord is good, and forever is his kindness. So, let's see if we can do it. L'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. Time singing it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. When you come to Psalm 196, it's in that psalm often, and almost the second part almost used as a refrain. You say one thing, and then you give that. His mercy endures forever. Then you say something else. His mercy endures forever. Well, in this psalm. So I was reading it this week. I thought, wow. He goes over remembering God's goodness and His mercy in all our situations. You know, it's a good thing in our lives to sometimes, if you can't sleep, this is a good psalm to think of. Think about your life. Of the situations that happened in your life and how God controlled things in His goodness and kindness. Even when we messed up, He was far gracious than we deserved. And the psalmist here is going over the history of Israel and the history of the things and you know, we're not smart enough to order our lives. We sometimes, when we ask for things, always say, if the Lord wills, because we don't know everything He knows. And we can, if He gave us everything we asked for, wow, we would be in a mess. And thankfully, He gave us many times things that we didn't ask for in His grace and kindness. And you look back and you say, wow, Lord, You are good. You're good always. And Your mercies endure forever. So let me just read this psalm. Think about His ways with Israel. They mess up constantly. It's like the judges. They constantly mess up. They finally cry to Him. God allows them to feel it. They cry to Him and the Lord saves them. Over and over and over. And we say in our life, Lord, we would have given up on ourselves long ago. Why do You keep being so gracious? He's far more gracious than we are. We give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's a camp song in that one. If you know that. If you're redeemed, it means you were in slavery. Say so. Whom He's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Don't forget, there's an enemy out there who hates us. He wants to destroy us. Good thing we have a shepherd that loves us. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. You've heard it talk about the wandering Jew. Now he was scattered all over because of their rejection of their Messiah. Twice, God had to destroy the temple on the same day. The same day, the first temple, the second temple was destroyed. And the Israelites celebrate that day to remember it. But they wandered all over, but God gathered them. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, they might go to a city of habitation. Look at Israel. People would not have believed to see modern Israel. They were scattered all over the world. And it's interesting, right around the time that God renewed the idea of the rapture of the saints. And that the church, the difference between the church and Israel was also when he started, the Jews started about thinking about going. I mean, they always said next year in Jerusalem, but where they started taking concrete steps with Herzl and all, saying, you know what? We're never going to have any rest till we have a home of our own. And they started thinking about going back to Israel and starting a kibbutzim in the land. And there were actually believers at this time, as he was working among the Jews to give them a desire to go back, he was opening up the truth of the rapture of the church and that God again would take up Israel as his people. Because before that, the standard theology was the church replaced Israel. There's no more place for Israel except when a Jew becomes saved and they become part of the church. But there's no more promises to them. And I think really that hindered both the church's witness to the Jews. Because the rabbis read the Old Testament and they saw all these promises of Israel and being regathered. Now, the same ones who said there was no blessings for Israel anymore, they did say, well, the curses were literal. They assigned the curses literally, assigned the blessings to the church. I don't know how they came up with that kind of theory of interpretation, but that's what they did. But God gathered them back, and nobody said, look, there's all these Arabs in the land. The land is controlled by the Ottoman Empire. You tell me that this is what happens when you read the Bible literally, you know. People believe that Israel is going to be back in the land as a nation one day. Huh. And they would use that as a joke. But God worked. And there were actual believers that would go, that went to some of the Jewish leaders and they said, you know, your desire to go back to the land is in line with biblical prophecy. That God was going to regather you back to the land. And it had an effect on speaking to them. When Israel did, a lot of Israelis or Jews from different countries got back into the land and they wanted to have their own, you know, there was friction with the Arabs and the British took over and the British mandate. And the United Nations or League of Nations started talking about dividing the country up into an Arab state and a Jewish state. Before they said Israel in that land, they said, well, why don't we give some other land? If the Jews really want their own country, there's a place over here in Alaska. There's a place over here in Africa, Uganda. We'll give that to them. Jew said, we don't want to. This is the land. This is the promised land that God gave to Abraham. This is the land that he promised and promises are associated with. And we know, this, if you know the history of modern Israel, it's quite amazing. They're there in the land, now in control of Jerusalem. No temple yet. But there's other things that Scripture says will happen. People didn't believe that this happened. They'll happen just as well. But God gathered them from the four corners of the world. The Jews were everywhere, scattered, speaking all those different languages. And God brought them back to his land. And he says in verse 8, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for the wonderful works to the children of men. The marvels that he has done. And I often think it's really quite marvelous when you go to Israel, you find all these believers, these Christians from all countries of the world going to praise Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And you have all these ingathered Jews from all these countries of the world. And like the Jewish believers over there say, Jesus is the best kept secret in Israel. Yeah, and if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no Israel. Really. There would be no current Israel if it wasn't for Jesus. And in unbelief, they're willing to make money off of his name. But that's all right. Whatever God uses. But even today with tourism, you know, it's the Jewish believers that come there and want to see the places where he walked. It's marvelous, really, when you think about it. But then he goes on. And notice, it's all what he does. We do all the messing up. He does all the good things, the good blessings. And he talks about how he blesses us. He is a God who delights to bless us. He enjoys blessing us. Did you see Mitch today with that truck and that big digger? And he had as much fun and joy watching Highlands see that truck and go down there to get it as Highlands did. And, you know, with our children, it's just the first things they do. You say, well, that's no big deal. Well, the first time they do it, did you see? He smiled at me. It was that joy of blessing and seeing their joy. That's the way our God is. And even when we mess up, you know, that's the way our God is. He enjoys blessing us. He really does. And it says, he satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, condemned the counsel of the Most High. They didn't listen. Our parents would have said, you made your own bed, you lay in it. You know, you didn't listen. You were hard at. I tried to tell you. Went your own way. Now, you live in it. Well, the Lord says, they rebelled against the words of God. They condemned the counsel of the Most High. I know better than him. Therefore, he brought them down, brought their heart down with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. God did that to bring people to the point to realize there's no help anywhere else. There's no satisfaction anywhere else. To make you, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death, broke their bands asunder. It looks like the book of Judges. Repeats the same thing over and over, and the same story that he has here. And the Lord, same thing with us. We get in, we go our own way, we get bound by our own lies. How many falsehoods are in the world today? How many people are deceived by the falsehood? When I see sometimes you see the polls and they say, well, 60% of the country thinks the president's doing a bad job. And 30% or whatever think he's doing a good job. I'm amazed more at the 30%. That you could have to find 30% that think he's doing a good job. And now, you know, I can only justify saying they must be the ones getting handouts. You know. But man's own ways bring the judgment on themselves. And it gets to the point where we cry out. And we say, verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. In spite of what we do, he blesses us. He's broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron and sunder apart. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And we might say again, He saves them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their own destructions. Think about how the Lord, I like what Bobby said a couple of weeks ago. He said, my job has been to keep Hylands from killing himself. And you think about it, as parents when they're little, that's really true. They don't know that this is going to hurt them. They don't know that to watch they don't fall down the steps. Watch they don't drown in the pool. They're not old enough to even realize what can hurt them. And our responsibility is to watch over and make sure they make it to that age, you know, where they can make their decisions wisely. But that's the way God is with us. He knows our frame. He knows we're both dust. He knows we're stupid. He's so wise. Think back on your life. Think back on who the Lord has used in your life to lead you in the right way, to keep you from killing yourself, to bless you. And we all have a history. You know, we all have a history, don't we? When one shown up on the screen because of our sins, our failures, and our going our own way. But that history also includes us crying to Him in our trouble. He heals us and delivers us from the things that would destroy us. And we have to praise again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Onulat onaiki tov. For the wonderful works to the children of men. But let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Declare His works with rejoicing. You know, tell others what He's done for us. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry on the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. And so He brings them to the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. I know a couple of people that would probably thought about this psalm, or later on when they went about it, when they were in the boat with the Lord on the Sea of Galilee, when Jonah was out there in the Mediterranean. What a description. The waves go up to the heavens. Then they drop down to the depths. Sometimes you'll see these tour boats, Carnival or whatever, they decided to take the boat through the stormy weather. And sometimes you see the waves crashing through, not just onto the deck, but crashing into the cafeteria where the food was, you know. Can you imagine? I suppose if we were on these kind of ships, especially, this is pretty poetic, but it's pretty literally true. If you've ever been to Jamestown and saw the ships that those people came over on, you say, wow, they really wanted freedom. They really wanted freedom of religion. And to get caught in a storm where that boat is tossed up and down, I mean, we get seasick just when it's just a little bit of motion. But here he says, man, you're lifting this way, and you're going this way. You're like a drunken man on that ship. So in trouble, crying out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And the Lord brought the storm. The Lord brought the storm for Jonah. He was running away. The Lord told him, let's get in the ship. He knew the storm. He calls the storm to come. But then he gets up and he says, be still. And suddenly the waves that were a second ago, like the heavens and down to the depths, now suddenly everything's calm. They know. They see his wonders in the deep. They marvel. And they say, what manner of man is this? Sometimes our storms are not in the oceans or in the Mediterranean Sea or the Sea of Galilee, but they seem just as insurmountable. They seem I'm perishing. Lord, save me, I'm perishing. And we cry out to him, and there's a great calm. And the Lord calls on us to pray, that men would praise his goodness. Odu Adonai Kitov, Ki Le'olam Abdo. He turns the rivers into a wilderness. The water springs into dry land. He turns this beautiful place and makes it dry. He does it. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. He sows the fields and plants vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are ministered, brought small, brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He pours contempt on princes, causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way, yet setteth thee the poor on high from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and all iniquity shall stop their mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Those in oppression and poor and needy, he feeds. He considers those that are proud. You know, the difference between people who get saved and those who are lost is pride and humility. It's the humble that turn to the Lord. It's those that realize their need and their affliction that turn to the Lord. The proud say, I can earn his favor. I am good enough to have him be pleased with my works, to say, save me. In fact, I don't really need that salvation that much. That's why people think that they can earn their salvation, or they're not so bad they can earn the rest of it in purgatory, and don't see the need of a Christ on the cross, or not humble enough to realize, Lord, without you I perish. Without you, I am lost. Completely lost. And so the Lord brings these situations. It's he who does all these things. It's he who directs the life. It's he who brings people to the point to realize that they need a Savior, and that the only Savior is the Lord Jesus. All other religions require you to do something to earn his favor. And the only in Christianity, in Christ, it's you can never earn that favor. But God is so gracious, he'll give it to you as a gift. You can only receive it as a gift. And the result is, we praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. We give thanks to Him. The proud don't give thanks. The proud give thanks for themselves. The proud religious man thanks God. He's not like other men. He's proud of himself. He's thankful that he's not like other men. The poor publican, he doesn't say anything that I'm not like the Pharisee. He knows he's a sinner. He bows and he says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Literally, the sinner. As if there was nobody else in the world, if there were no other sinners in the world, I'm the sinner. Paul, the more closer he came to God, to the Lord, he said, I'm no less than the least of the saints. I am the chief of sinners. Because the more you can honestly see your heart before God, you realize that it is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. Given the right circumstances, the right situation, we could do what anybody else could do. Our salvation depends totally upon someone's grace and favor and kindness and mercy that's renewed every morning. And here this psalm just takes up our history. And it's really a good practice in our lives. Go over it. Go over when you can't sleep. The devil would rather you sleep than think about all the things the Lord has done for you. And think about the things that you asked for and He didn't give you. And you might have been upset at the time. Why didn't He answer my prayer? And it was later on that we say, wow, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer. Or thank you for answering this prayer. Thank you so much for your grace. You know, thank you so much for the mate, the wife that you gave me, the husband that you gave me, the right one. He knew what we needed. And we give Him thanks for it all. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Shall we pray? Lord, we do say with the psalmist, we give thanks to You, for You are good. Good always. Your mercy, Your kindness is forever. Thank You for never giving up on us, Lord. Thank You for always loving us. Thank You for a faithfulness to all generations. Your mercy renewed day by day. Thank You for Your word. In Your name, amen.